today, because today we're recognizing our high school students who are graduating from high school. You know, what a great accomplishment. Some of these students have been a part of this church their whole lives, right? Or at least most of their lives. My daughter graduated from Battle High School this week in Columbia. Molly Myron, who's our newcoming staff member, director of children and family ministries, she has a daughter who has, I think, graduated, and her name is Leah. And so congratulations to Leah, Molly, your family, if you all are watching this morning. This is a great accomplishment for all these young people, and we want to celebrate that achievement. And so we are, by eating so many carbs here in about 30 minutes. Muffins, biscuits galore down there. It's going to be wonderful. We as your church family, we know this is the first of many giants you're going to slay in your life. Another giant before many of you is more education, more learning. It may be a college degree, maybe master's, maybe a doctorate degree for our scientists in the room, certifications, trainings. You know, young folks, just determine to be a lifelong learner. Just be a lifelong learner. Stop keeping track. That's what all your teachers and professors have tried to model for you, is lifelong learning. Kim and I, we've got a good friend from Springfield. She's retiring. She has retired. I think she has 1.5 more days in the Springfield school system. And when she finishes, she'll work to complete her doctorate because she's been working on it for a while now, so even after she's out of school. That giant isn't dead yet, and so she's still going to go after it once she's done teaching. For all of you, beyond educational giants will be an occupational giant. The work that you are going to do, that you're going to commit to in life. And you'll likely be surprised how the work that you begin doing right out of school may not be the work that you're doing right before retirement. Because, you know, work is evolving quickly. What that means. Beyond those occupational giants, educational giants, are relational hopes and goals, personal goals, plans to help people, plans to change your community in order to make the world a better place. Many more giants to slay in your lifetime. And man, the stories that we could tell in here, right? The stories that this church could tell you about slaying giants in life. The great accomplishments that have been done by the people sitting in the pews this morning. The educational degrees attained. The businesses started. The ministries and nonprofits started, probably for very little gain, personal gain, just for the goal of helping other people. The marriages in here, 40-year marriages, that kind of accomplishment and more. The hundreds of children raised by this congregation. The mighty giants we have slain. And just be careful not to count yourself short, old warriors, right? Old warriors in this room. Because if there's something life has taught us, it's that life seems to always present us with another giant. Just when we thought our giant slaying days were done, another giant stands before us. Today's message is for all of us giant slayers, both young and old alike. We believe that David, young David, was likely a teen when he fought Goliath, when he went toe-to-toe with him. Probably between the ages of 13, 15 years old. Probably too young to be a part of Israel's army, but not young enough that the king thought it was a good idea to put him up against another soldier. David's a great example to all of us of how to slay giants in life. Giants are those large obstacles that stand before us. The large obstacles that stand in the way of the life we desire to live. And friends, they are intimidating. And when we face them, we experience moments of fear and maybe even panic, depending on how big the giant. You know, we didn't read the full story of David and Goliath, But if you go back in the story, two great armies are camping across from one another, the Philistine army and the Israelite army. And they are waiting for the other to make the first move towards battle. And like two children on a playground, you know, nose to nose, pushing, antagonizing, throwing vulgar insults at one another, trying to provoke the first punch. Right? Who's going to step across the line? And so every day, the Philistine champion Goliath, a great man, he comes out to the battlefield, and he asks for one warrior from Israel to fight him. Who's going to fight him? And what he says is, winner takes all. How am I doing here? Do I need one of those? Am I okay? Take one of those? Okay. Number 18. Hello. Here I am. Okay, make sure to shut this one off just in case so I'm not. Thank you. Very good. Yeah. Okay, so Philistine, Goliath, great giant man, battlefield, warrior. Yep, winner takes all. Right? Winner takes all in battle. And so every day, no warrior from Israel will meet Goliath on the field of battle. Just won't do it. Until the day that young David hears the insults of the giant against his people, against his God. And on that day, young teenager David faces this giant and slays him. And here is how David went about facing his fears and defeating the intimidating giant who stood before him. Here's how all of us can defeat the intimidating giants that are waiting for us in life, that are still to come. First thing David did, David first had to honestly assess his strengths and shortcomings in order to fight the giant on his terms. Once again, we didn't read the entire story, but young David, he meets the king of Israel, his king. He goes before his king when he hears the taunts of this giant, and the king places his armor and his sword on David, which are all too large for little David. Young David's frame can't support the heavy armor, nor is David proficient in how to use this heavy sword. He's not done sword training 101 yet. So David goes to battle with the giant without armor and without a sword. Instead, he has a sling and a stone as his choice of weapon, right? A sling was a child's weapon. It's what a child grew up learning how to use. Not a great warrior. Not what a great warrior used in battle. But young David, he knew how to use the sling. He was proficient in it. He was experienced in it. He knew what he was doing. And so young David was not an adult warrior. So he didn't face the giant. He didn't try to defeat the giant by being something that he wasn't, that he hadn't learned how to be yet. David defeated the giant with just a sling and a stone without any armor because the armor would have encumbered his accuracy. And so he had greater accuracy with the sling without the armor. Now, later in life, David's going to grow up. He's going to get more of his man body going, right? He's going to have this form that's going to support armor. He's going to be able to put armor on. He's going to learn how to use a sword. He's going to take sword fighting 101 and 201 and 301, graduate from sword fighting school. Right? And he's going to know what he's doing with it. He's going to become proficient. In order to defeat the giants in our lives, sometimes we need to honestly assess our strengths and our shortcomings to fight the battle well. Find ways to operate out of your strengths so that you aren't relying on your weaknesses. For our students, you all have had some time to develop your unique abilities. You've learned that there are naturally some things that you're better at than others. Adults have affirmed these gifts. They've said to you things like this. Students, you've heard this. You really have a gift for this. Or this seems to really come pretty easily for you, right? Teachers, parents, peers, they've likely confirmed some things about yourself that you weren't even fully aware of until somebody said to you, hey, you're good at this. You're good at this. Now, the next stage of life is going to test you on a completely different level and on a new level. The next giant you face will require you to develop greater confidence. Not just confidence in what you're good at, but also confidence in your drive and in your passion. Right? Drive and passion go a long way in life. Someone else, here's what you're going to find out, students. Someone else may have more raw talent than you have. But if you have drive and passion, then you can still accomplish your goals. You can still slay those giants that stand before you. But you have to be honest with yourself about your limitations. You have to be willing to work hard to make up the difference with those limitations. You know, just because you didn't study for a test in high school and you were able to pull off a B doesn't mean you're going to be able to go to college and do the same thing. You might be surprised when you don't study how much lower that grade can go. I can tell you firsthand how much lower it can go, and it can go really low, right? Just because you were picked first in high school for everything doesn't mean you're going to be picked first in college for everything. You're about to learn that sometimes the things that you thought you really wanted at 18 or 17, you don't really want all that bad at 21 or 22. And there are people in this room, and they can all tell you from experience that you can either figure that out at 21 or you can figure that out at 41. Your choice. The sooner you figure it out, the better. The sooner you can figure out what you're really good at and what you really care about and what you really have the drive to complete, the better off you're going to be. The next thing David did, right? That was the first thing he did. He honestly assessed kind of his skills, his abilities, all those things, his weaknesses. Next thing David did to slay the giant was he ran to the battle line. He ran to the battle line. He didn't get into a defensive stance. He didn't go hide behind a rock. He didn't stand there and wait. Okay, is he really coming? Right? I think he's really coming. No, he didn't do any of those things. Young David ran to the battle line and engaged the enemy in order to slay the giant. Even though he was outsized, outgunned, outskilled, young David still had great courage. He took courage. Friends, a really sad part about life is how often fear keeps us from facing our challenges, those things that we really want to accomplish. You know, it's one thing to assess our skills and our drive and our passion, to assess all those things, and then to say, you know what? Not my battle, not my giant. Thought it was, it's really not. It's another to say to ourselves, I really want this, but what if I can't do it? What if I'm going to fail? What if I'm going to lose? And then determine not to run to the battle line. I just won't because I'm not sure I can. Which was exactly the crisis that every warrior in Israel's army was having before David. Every other warrior said to themselves, I'm not sure I can win against Goliath, so I'm not going to fight Goliath because I'm not really sure if I can win. Young ones, learn to fight for the things you desire and don't let fear keep you from the fight. David drew from his past accomplishments. That's what he did. Earlier in the story, once again, I don't think we read this, but David recalled. He said, you know what? I've fought both the lion and the bear to defend my father's sheep. How is the giant any different from any of them? Well, you and I both know there's a difference. Right? Like he stands 6 feet taller and his spear's, you know, much longer than Fang's. But we get what David's saying, right? We get the point he's trying to make. For young David, who hadn't experienced a significant loss yet, there was no difference. Lion, bear, giant, doesn't matter to me. Young ones, there are voices in this room, once again, who can share some stories about significant loss. Significant setbacks. There are people in this room who can tell you about running to the battle line and then getting knocked back onto their rear hard. Some of us can tell you about giants who got the upper hand on us. Which really gives us an opportunity, I think, what I've learned, is to step into another level of courage in life when that happens to you. Because someday there will be a defeat in your life that your body and your brain will not let you forget, no matter how hard you try. and they will seek to steal your confidence. Which is why young David's last lesson, I think, is most important, right? The second was have courage. The third one is this. Ultimately, David knew that the battle he fought belonged to the Lord and not to himself. It was his father's battle, not his battle. And I love David's smack talk, right? Friends, if you ever come play pickleball with me, I might engage in a little smack talk. I try to dial it down. I try to keep it church appropriate. Every once in a while, it just slips out. And then you can give me the look like everybody else does, you know.
Yeah.
David says this to the giant. Here's David's smack talk. He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut your head off." Which is pretty strong talk for a kid with a slingshot. Exactly how he's going to do that. But David knows that he's God's vessel. I'm God's vessel. He doesn't just fight by his own strength. He fights through God's strength. Through his father's strength. Graduates, many of you have been raised in a faith community. Many of you have been raised in a church. Unless you're my daughter, then you've been raised in seven churches, you know, as we've traveled, since I'm introduced as the pastor and not by my name, which is, you know, what happens when you've been to seven churches. You know, you have been taught the beliefs that we have as Christians. You've been taught the beliefs that we all have as United Methodists. We have tried to emphasize the importance of being ethical and kind. You've hopefully participated in worship and youth group and maybe mission opportunities, maybe justice opportunities. And my hope is more than anything that you have the realization that God is with you. God is with you and he will fight for you and he will be your strength when you are out of strength, when you are beyond yourself. There was a gentleman in one of my previous churches, and I would later come to admire him for just this reason. In one of our first conversations, he let me know that he came to church more for his wife than he did for himself. Right? I'm sure that doesn't happen here. Right? I'm sure that doesn't happen here. But here's what I want to tell you. If your love for your spouse compels you to show up, then I guess you're just fortunate to be married to someone who makes you a better person. Right? And nobody needs to point right now. Nobody needs to point. We know you're here. But at the same time, for this 70-year-old gentleman, he began to tell me about how, even though this was the case for him, that his faith was still very real and very deep. Had a very deep personal faith. He told me that he always had a sense that God was with him and that God was fighting for him, that God was fighting with him. This man, he had lost his father at a very young age, and he was basically raised by a single mother through all his childhood. He didn't grow up with an earthly father, but he always knew his heavenly father was strong in his life. And his faith was a power that gave him great confidence in life. And at the age of 70, he was still CEO of his business that was in town. He was an amazing salesman. And he knew that God was always present with him in his dealings and in his negotiations. He just knew God was there, giving him confidence. Now, even though I wished he had went to church for maybe a different reason other than his wife's encouragement, I couldn't help but to admire his faith in his heavenly Father that he had had most of his life. And even though I was the pastor there and I had a lot of experience with this God thing, I learned something from him that I needed at that point in my life about faith. You know, faith has been a lot of different things for me. I've intellectualized it. You know, I've made it about understanding. I've made it about knowledge. I've spiritualized it. I've made it about feelings and about experiences at different times. Unfortunately, you know, I've done what a lot of people do too. I've weaponized it at different times in my life. I've made it about my beliefs. I've made it about justifying my own views above somebody else's views. I've made that mistake. But friends, at the end of the day, if we can't know that our God is for us and that he fights for us and that he empowers us to act, then we have quietly become agnostics. That is where we have moved in our faith. Church, our God desires for us to be giant slayers. Giant slayers. Not because we're overly confident that we can do it by our own strength and power, but by faith, because God is with you. That we might say to the giants of our lives, just like David said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Our lives are just simply in God's hands. They're in God's hands. And faith is knowing that his hands are more capable, that his hands are more than powerful, and that you're safe in him, right? Young David slew the giant Goliath because of his ability to do just these things. David would go on in life. He's going to face many more giants, right? He'll become king, right? He'll become King David of Israel. But you know what task would take David to task more? What thing in his life would take David to task more than any other? And it's the area of family. Family. David would become a horrible family man. Absolutely horrible. Later on in life, his own son would form a rebellion against him and run him out of his own kingdom. And he would have to create another army and fight his son in battle in order to get his kingdom back. You know, though David would face many different giants, like trying to be a decent husband, a decent father, that he would fail at, he never gave up. He never gave up. And because he never gave up, history would remember him as the greatest king in all of Israel. King David. Not because he was perfect. Not because he did everything right. Not because he had great faith in every single situation that he came up against. But because he never gave up. He never gave up. He always found the courage to face every giant, even the ones that would injure him and maim him. My prayer is that our graduates and all of us would learn a thing or two about fighting giants today from David. That we would learn to honestly assess our strengths and our shortcomings. That we would run to the battle line and take great courage. And that we would know that our battles are ultimately the Lord's battle. That we would learn to have faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our graduates. We thank you for David that taught us how to fight. Lord, help us to face the giants in life. Lord, when the giant knocks us down, when the giant seeks to intimidate us, Lord, give us all the strength to get back up and to fight. Because you desire us to overcome hard things in life. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.